It's time for our monthly report from Encourage. The Encourage Foundation office is located right across from Hotel Mead at 490 East Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. And we have a lot of things to talk about today. We, with us are Corey Atkinson and Heather McKellips from Encourage. And first off, good morning, ladies. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Carl.
Thanks. Good morning, Carl.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to, first off, there's an important meeting happening tonight at the McMillan Memorial Library from 5:30 to 7. Get your Tribune Building Project questions answered. Okay. I assume you've been hearing about getting questions from the public and you want to...
Sure. So, believe it or not, Carl, there are still people who don't even know about the Tribune at all. So, in response to that and some of the questions that we've been hearing out in the community, we decided to host a session that's really about answering people's questions. So, tonight we're going to offer the opportunity for people to come in and hear from a panel of our Encourage staff and board who are going to give information about the Tribune. And it could be questions that someone comes in the door and has, or things that we've already heard about or been percolating, and we want to address those.
What type of issues are you going to try to address?
Well, we've had lots of questions about, you know, the timeline for construction, of course. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. We've also heard questions about, you know, how is it going to operate? What is that cash flow, or how is that going to look for the businesses that are going to be in the Tribune? So we're going to discuss that. And then we've been getting a lot of questions about, you know, how is this fit into the downtown? Is it going to compete with other businesses? What does that look like? So those are some of the things that we anticipate answering. But we're happy to have residents come in and ask those tough questions that they've been wondering about this whole time, or maybe they're new to town and they just want to learn a little bit more about the Tribune anyway.
Is there some of these questions a misunderstanding of what the Tribune project was about? A lot of folks don't understand what is meant by it's more than a building.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think the question around what's it about and why, you know, why isn't the building built yet all comes from the same space, that this is not a traditional development project. And because it's a new model of doing development in our community, there's going to be questions. You know, I think it's totally fair for someone to say, you know, gosh, you bought the building back in 2012, 2013. How come it's just the doors aren't open? And if you don't appreciate or understand the process of including residents in the process and residents determining what's going to go in the building, what's the programming going to look like, what is the building going to look like, the input that residents said, you know, we want it to be environmentally sustainable. To get all that input and information and then to work with Concordia, find a contractor that will work with local vendors and contractors to build skill sets. So to do that development differently is so unique that I think that's where some of that misunderstanding, I guess, would come from.
When someone says, well, what kind of development is that? What kind of a term do you use? What's an easy way to answer that? Or is there an easy way?
I don't know if there's is there a term that we've used in terms of...
I would say that it's a resident-centered process. So we're putting people at the center of making decisions. And by offering the opportunity for all residents to feel included in the process, it took time. And we landed on final programming for the building, but it didn't end there. So from planning, we had to go into design. And from design, it had to go into how does this actually work, you know? And we had to have our architects look and engineers look and make sure that the plans that the community wanted were good, as well as do market studies to understand if the programming that they'd like to see in the building is feasible. And that all takes time. So we worked through all that, and now we're finally at the part where we're looking for funding for the Tribune. But we had to get all of those pieces put together, so when we are out asking for funding, we have those questions answered.
So is there, in describing this, okay, you have the community involvement, now you got the plan. After all that community involvement and finding out what's realistic and what's feasible, now we're at the funding stage. What is it, how many stages are there in this whole process?
Well, I think the funding stage is going to be the hardest stage, because we have learned in this process that it's people are very interested in the project, but they don't want to be the first person to put funding into the building. So we just need the first in, and so we've had lots of opportunities. We're meeting with different people and different funders to look at how can we realize the building, but doing so at making sure that we look at the lowest possible amount taken out in loans for the building. So we're looking at grant dollars and opportunities that we don't have to pay back first. And, you know, we could fund the building with low-interest loans, but is it going to be long-term sustainable at that rate? So we want to make sure that when the doors open, we can keep those doors open. And so that takes time, too.
Okay. So now you're trying to find a sustainable funding source that can get this place up and running. Will this be different in terms of funding for this kind of a project? Are we looking at for-profit entities, non-profit entities, trade groups? How are these kind of projects funded in the past? Or is this a wholly new thing?
Well, I think for our community, it's wholly new. I mean, I think in other communities, people have seen this, but we've, you know, been very taken care of in our community. The development that has happened usually has come from our industry, and we've had a thriving industry. And so we have, over, you know, the past decade or so, haven't had a lot of need for development. And so, you know, if we look at this model, it's really going to be multiple sources of funding. So it could be, you know, like Corey was saying, low interest loans. It could be grants. It could be, you know, donations from local residents, businesses. It could be, you know, other sources of funding. So it's going to be really a capital stack of different financing.
Is there a target date yet for getting the construction work started, or is that to be determined by the community?
I think the target date is as soon as possible, but realistically following, you know, we need to have funding secured first. So once we have the funding secured, we're roughly looking at about a year timeline of what, you know what, that all depends on weather. I should throw that in too. So depending on when we could start, you know, depending on our beautiful Wisconsin weather, that could change and alter that.
So this year would be used for funding and then next year building?
It very well could. You know, if we secured funding before the end of this year, you could see some construction, depending on the weather, even in 2017.
Well, so maybe like indoor work could be done during the winter, maybe. Or is that feasible with the type of...
I think depending on where they're at, you know, if we had all the funding lined up tomorrow, you could see cranes on the site within 2-3 months. But again, you know, it depends on those funding sources. And so tomorrow or tonight, what we're going to be talking about is how are we going to do that? What is that going to look like? And, you know, we don't have all the answers, but what we do know are these things. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, as well as, you know, listening to what our residents have to say.
Okay. And again, that meeting is tonight at the McMillan Memorial Library, and it's in their auditorium, 5:30 to 7 p.m. It's free and open to the public, and if you need child care or transportation, you can contact Encourage. I'll give their phone number real quick, 715-818-6188. And anything else about tonight's meeting that people need to know? Other than you'll get and you can bring your questions and get answers.
Absolutely.
And do you think some folks are getting discouraged?
You know, they could be, but I think most of the residents who've been engaged with us throughout this process are because they've been so involved, and all along the way we've been transparent with everything that we do, and so I feel like our most engaged residents really have an understanding of we're doing this different, and they can feel that, and they felt that throughout the entire time, so they're really understanding. I think other community members who maybe have not been involved may say, well, I'm not quite sure if that's ever going to be done, or I don't really understand that model. I need some help.
Well, I think that's the big thing. I think a lot of folks don't understand this community-based model.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
if you're going to get the widest amount of the community involved and get their input, it's going to take, just by nature, a lot of time. And people tend to want to get things done right away.
Right.
And then you hear from business people, I could put that baby up and get it done in 2 months. You know?
Yep. Yeah, and Heather's going to talk a little bit more today about a project that we got the opportunity to go see and a little bit about their timeline. And so it's a great synergy between what they did over in Eau Claire and what we're doing here.
We're getting our Encourage Foundation update. Corey Anfinson and Heather McKellips are here. And we're, again, if you're planning to go to the Tribune Building Project update meeting and get your questions answered. It's tonight from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the McMillan Memorial Library's auditorium here in Wisconsin Rapids. But you, ladies, you had a Blueprints Group learning trip to Eau Claire.
Yes.
And
yes.
Part of that was to learn what's involved with a project like the Tribune Building, because I guess there's something similar that happened in Eau Claire?
Yes, the Confluence Project. And I'm not sure if we've probably not talked very much about Blueprints on this show. So just to give some context, the Blueprints for Tomorrow program is an Encourage-led and USDA-supported program, a 25-month program that is teaching skills and the networks and approaches to doing regional economic development. And so we had the opportunity to bring key organizations together that had some development or projects in their pipeline. So we had the City of Wisconsin Rapids, Wood County, Farm Shed, even though they're based out of Stevens Point, they have done work in our locals farmers market and work with our health department. The YMCA, the Housing Authority, and then Encourage wanted to have a team participating in that as well, because the whole program is based on learning with each other. So we wanted to co-learn with all the teams going through this work. So the program was, you know, classroom training with national thought leaders going into the curriculum, but also looking and trying new and different things outside of the classroom. So whether it was coming in from these national thought leaders or from going out and looking at how other organizations are doing their work. So it became, we had team reps from each of these organizations saying, you know, they wanted to get out of the community and look at a project or another type of development that was similar to Blueprints that we could learn from. You know, what worked, what didn't, what were those conditions of success. And we've been hearing a lot about the Confluence Project in Eau Claire. And this is a project that has been underway for quite some time, but what made it really special is it is a private-public partnership on this development. And the conditions in Eau Claire were very similar to our communities. They had a single industry for a very long time. They had a downtown that was in, this is a quote from a city rep in Eau Claire, that it was dying. And they recognized that they needed to do something differently. So our goal was to go there, learn from the leaders within that partnership to find out their success. And so we took our Blueprints participants over there, whoever could attend, on February 28th. And then we also recognized that there are other community leaders who are doing work in economic development, and so we extended an invitation to them as well. For example, the Heart, Reggie, the mayor, so others could come in and learn with us.
Okay, so what did you learn about the Confluence Project, and what was involved with it?
Well, it's going to be hard to summarize everything. Okay. Corey was on the trip, too, so I'm going to ask her to jump in.
Okay.
Well, we heard from the city council president, and we heard from the principal of their development company, Kyle. And then we also heard from the economic development director for the city of Eau Claire. And those three were kind of the leaders that had the vision about the Confluence Project. And so what I expected personally was, you know, these key development tips and tricks and techniques, like how can we get this through and what was the impact and all this kind of nitty gritty stuff. And what was fascinating is that these three that were hosting us over and over again, they said, first and foremost, it was about their relationship, their relationships with one another and the trust that they had built as leaders bringing this vision to fruition. They also said that a key component of their success is that they agreed early on to set aside their own self-interest and put their shared common interest in this project above all else. And they reiterated that message over and over again. And then similar to what we did with Tribune is they did a resident engagement process. It wasn't exactly like Tribune, but the same type of approach, engaging residents to find out what they wanted, what they were interested in.
What was involved with it?
It's a process. They cited it as a clear vision process, and it was a facilitated process.
But it involved the whole downtown or part of the...
It invited community members to the table, but what they basically said, what came out of this process, is that they wanted to revive their downtown. They thought it was important and wanted it to move forward.
Okay. So, how did they go about going forward? And where are they? How long has this been going on in Eau Claire?
Well, it's a great question because it's been 10 years in the making. And although the Confluence Art Center is what it's going to be, has not been built yet, all the other areas around, once they knew that that project was going to move forward, all this other development just rolled into town, into their downtown. So it is... It looks amazing. It's totally revitalized. Young professionals in the area are flocking to it, have put investments there. And so they have realized, and quote me if I'm wrong, but I think $100 million of investment has flooded into their downtown because of this Confluence project.
Okay, so did you learn from that the benefits of the Tribune project may accrue or happen prior to... it even being the work being started again or completed, because other folks are going to look at, okay, Rapids is getting its downtown back on track.
Yeah, we've always said along the way that we hope that the Tribune serves as a catalyst for other development in our downtown. You know, we have a lot of great small businesses in our downtown already, but there are some areas for improvement, and the Tribune being one of those locations. When we bought the building, it was vacated, and it's right along the river, and it needed something done to it. So our hope is that, much like Confluence, you know, once we secure our funding, you know, maybe we'll have development in our downtown that follows or even gets done before the Tribune, and that's okay. And like Heather said, their downtown is amazing. It was simply beautiful, and the amount of housing down there, and really looking at it from, you know, perspective of it's a place for everyone. So not only are the young professionals moving back to the area, they have older generations of folks who are saying, you know, I'm ready to downsize. I want to live downtown, and I want to be in a vibrant area. I want to be with the young professionals. So they're seeing a mix of people really wanting to be in that space, as well as part of the Confluence project does have some housing for students from UW-Eau Claire. And that part's actually been built. And I can tell you I'd like to go back to school and just live in that place. It was beautiful. And it's in a gorgeous location right where the two rivers converge.
What did they tell you about the Tribune, what they heard from you about the Tribune? What kind of advice did they give you?
You know, it went back to what they said throughout the entire presentation about the need for key leaders in the community to have trusted relationships and a vision to lead even in the face of opposition or negative feedback. And so they did get opposition to their project, as you will with any project, right? But what they saw is they had a commitment to the vision, a commitment to each other and to that common interest that was backed by residents to say, we'll push through this. The other thing that I thought was a huge message for me is, you know, we talk about Tribune, and I know that the city is, they have the triangle development that they're working on, the riverfront development. What I saw in reading about Confluence was a quote by one of their council members that the sum is greater than the parts. And I think about how that connectivity of everything in our downtown is ripe, not only ripe for development, but ripe for revitalization. And if we can collectively as a community see the value of revitalizing our downtown and the key that it has to our economy, then we can stop seeing maybe individual projects, but see the value in all that opportunity that is just, you know, on the cusp of development.
A lot of this involves patience, and that they apparently were able to work through.
Yes.
That. But it sounds like a lot of what I'm hearing about questions of the Tribune building, well, let's do something. It takes time, and a lot of people don't understand that development by its nature does not happen overnight. It's not like a video game or something on the internet. It doesn't happen real quick.
And, you know, for Confluence, they had a strong city team that was leading on one end, and then we had a private developer on another end coming together, which I think is a great, unique model, trusting one another and coming together to lead in that way. And I think we have so much opportunity, and I think if we can come together as a community to realize that vision, because, you know, so I hear people say, well, you know, who cares about the downtown? Well, you can point to the Lubke study and other studies that show that a vibrant downtown is key to your economy. So it's not just for let's revitalize the downtown for downtown's sake. It's key to a new economy that we're transitioning into.
Okay. But, you know, you have the cynics. We're long past. And you got some folks that don't want change.
Absolutely.
And they had the same.
They had a group of people form a nonprofit organization to oppose the Confluence. And then they had a group of people on the other side who said, you know what, if you're going to do that, we're going to form the community for the Confluence. And so it was just opposing views. But in the long run, it was really about perseverance and thinking long term and having the right conditions, the right leadership, and of course the dollars to support a project all come together at once. And, you know, the city council president said, you know, it took a whole lot of serendipity, too.
I was just wondering, the opposition group was, let our downtown die.
They said citizens for facts.
Yeah.
Sounds a little nicer than let our downtown die.
You know what? With any change, you're going to have people that support it and people that don't. So.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not rare.
But you had, are you going to put any of the what you learned on the Tribune website or make it available to the public?
Yes, we're working on that right now to put together our thoughts, and I'm not sure what form it's going to take yet, but we started working on that.
Okay. Well, ladies, I thank you again. And again, folks, if you want to be involved with the Tribune Building Project, tonight's your opportunity to get your questions answered, 5:30 to 7, special presentation at the McMillan Memorial Library's auditorium. Get your Tribune Building Project questions answered. And we've been visiting with Corey Anfinson and Heather McKellips here on the Morning Magazine. And that's going to do it for today's show.